In the name of Jesus, amen. So I forgot to record the sermon last night, so this is a quick recording at the home so that it's online and accessible to anybody who wants to listen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Saints, we had just got done singing the sweet name of Jesus, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear, the hymn that we just got done singing. We're going to consider the stained glass window that we have in the church as we enter into the sanctuary. It is the name of Jesus. As you look at the image that you have before you, it kind of looks like the letters I, H, and S intertwined with each other. In reality, it is the Greek letters iota, eta, and sigma, which is Ies, which is the first three letters of the name of Jesus in Greek, which is Iesus. So as you enter into the church sanctuary, you have this beautiful stained glass window. As you come onto the left, it is the name of Jesus. And one of the reasons that it's put there at the entrance of to the church is because it is the name of Jesus that introduces you into God's family. It is the name of Jesus that introduces you to the comfort and the promise of the forgiveness of all of your sins, which is what you hear in church. It is the name of Jesus that introduces you into prayer, which is what you do at church, and praise and thanksgiving and singing and hearing God's holy word and singing his songs and praises and eating and drinking the holy body and holy blood of Jesus Christ, which is what you do at church. And it is all because of the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names that saves you. It is the name of Jesus that introduces you into God's holy family now. And it is the name of Jesus that will be your introduction into the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. One of the readings that we considered last night as a congregation was a reading from Revelation chapter 22, which is the end of time. It is the new creation. St. John writes there that there will be a time in which there will no longer be anything accursed. And we will finally see God face to face. We'll need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be our light, and we will reign with him forever. And one of the things that the Revelation text mentions is that his name will be on our foreheads. That's a beautiful image, especially as we were gathered there last night with the mark of ashes upon our foreheads. We have the mark of ashes on our foreheads, and we receive that mark on our foreheads saying, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But that mark of ashes, that mark of mortality and death, and the reminder that we are dust, is also in the shape of a cross to remind us that we are dust, but that Jesus also died for us, and that we are marked by his blood, by his death, by his life, and that though we are dust, Jesus will raise us from the dust so that we will reign with him forever. So that Revelation text reminds us that his name is on our foreheads, and we carried around with us the sign of the Holy Cross upon our foreheads. One of the other texts we considered last night was a text from Joel chapter 2, which called for us to return to the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. It called us to rend our hearts and not our garments, to return to the Lord our God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And as we consider the name of Jesus and being introduced to his name at Mount Calvary, we considered that one of the reasons that we can return to him, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, is because he's actually there. He's here. He's at Mount Calvary. He's there in our presence. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, we sing. He's there. He came. He came to us. He still comes to us. He will come again. Jesus also promises where two or three are gathered in his name, Jesus says, that name of Jesus, then there he is among us. And there he is teaching and washing and bringing us back into his family. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, Jesus will say, And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Baptism in his name and the promise that he is with us always goes hand in hand. We can return to him because he's actually present. He's near to us. He gives us his word. He gives us his sacrament. And he is in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we can return to him, repentant of our sin. And he is here. He came to do one thing, which is to save. The name of Jesus is, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. We are his people. We are the baptized. He hasn't changed his mind. We're still loved by him, and he saves us. And the final thing that we considered is that Ash Wednesday marked the beginning of Lent. And Lent has a way of helping change our priorities. So traditionally, Lent has focused on three things: fasting, prayer, and the giving of money, of generosity. And we considered how fasting helps us realize that we don't live by bread alone. One of the texts we considered yesterday was Matthew chapter 6, Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, when he says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. It's a call for the Christian to fast. Some things cannot be driven out by anything but the word of God and fasting, Jesus will say to the disciples at one point in time. It's the call to fast, to give up a little food, to help remind us that this is a holy moment, and to remind our bodies that we are his and his alone. It's a call to prayer. Jesus says when you pray, not if you pray. We're called to pray. We have to pray. We're Christians. That's what Christians do, when you pray. So increase your prayers. Try and increase your prayers. Set aside a little extra time this Lent to say your prayers. And the final thing is to be a little more generous. One of the things Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 is when you give to the poor. We're called to do that. Not if you give to the poor, but when you give to the poor. We are called to do that. Called to be generous to our church and called to be generous to the poor during this Lenten season. So, in the name of Jesus, we consider how we can do some good. In the name of Jesus, we consider how he saves us. In the name of Jesus, we consider how we depart in peace in his name. In the name of Jesus, we consider how we can go to sleep in peace. And in the name of Jesus, we consider how we can treat death like it's but a sleep, which Jesus so often does. In the name of Jesus, we can do some good. We can welcome some children. We can receive children. We can go and be reconciled to our neighbors. We can feed some hungry, clothe some sick, visit some sick, pray for some enemies, and love the ones who are hard to love. For we remember that we are dust, and so let's not cling to the things of this life so much. And we also remember that we bear on our foreheads and upon our heart the name of the one who saves. In the name of Jesus, amen.